Oh, what a day. It's Friday, though. What a... Still, you don't want to go outside on today. It's too damn hot. Joining me now, something that is hot and something that's going to affect your life in many, many ways that you're just now beginning to grasp, is Utah Senator Mike Lee. He's got a new ebook out there, Why John Roberts Was Wrong About Healthcare. Senator, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
You gave a speech this week on healthcare, and it seems to be a recurring theme. Senator Rubio sort of followed up the next day with a very similar speech. Your idea that, Republicans are sort of in a box. The Democrats control the United States Senate. So being able to delay the implementation of the individual mandate the way that the administration unilaterally decided to delay the implementation of the employer mandate in the healthcare law is not likely legislatively. Maybe they'll decide it on their own where they get this power. I don't know. But you took to the floor of the United States Senate and said, if you have the ability to stop this law, at least temporarily through the funding process, the government hasn't had a budget in over 3 years. You're working on continuing resolutions where you all sort of agree to keep spending the same money you've been spending. And you said, if the president isn't going to enforce the law, why should we fund the law? Tell us a little bit about that philosophy and how you could go about stopping this, at least temporarily.
Okay, so under our constitutional system, Congress makes the law. The law typically has to be signed by the president, but once that happens, it's the law.
Mm-hmm.
The president doesn't have the power to change it, and that includes tweaking the law in the way that the president tweaked it a few weeks ago, where there are all these deadlines that cause a number of
And those deadlines
aspects.
Are in the statute. They're not, eventually, and they just decided this when they're kicking the can. This is legally they're supposed to meet this one.
That's right. When this thing was written almost 3.5 years ago, they wrote into it a series of deadlines, legally imposed deadlines, when various aspects of the law would kick in. So the employer mandate was one of those aspects of the law that would kick in on January 1st, 2014. The Obama administration has had 3 years, roughly, since that law passed to get ready for January 1st, 2014. It announced to us a couple of weeks ago that it's not ready to implement the law as it was enacted. And so the White House's response to that was, well, we'll just switch it around. Mm-hmm. We'll allow it to operate in a manner that Congress never contemplated. But the White House doesn't have the power to do that. So what I'm saying is, if the president really is serious in saying we're not ready to implement it, then Congress shouldn't fund it. And the president ought not be able to sort of pick and choose which provisions of the law he implements. We call that selective enforcement, and that's not okay. So what we're saying is that we're not going to be willing to vote for any funding mechanism for government, a continuing resolution, for example, if that contains funding for further enforcement and implementation of Obamacare.
Is there an appetite for that in the Republican caucus in the United States Senate?
There is. It is a growing appetite. It's an appetite that will continue to expand as people become aware of it, as constituents reach out to their senators and their congressmen. I find that the American people are overwhelmingly in support of this. Members of Congress are still learning of the effort, but as they do, they're going to be inclined to join with it.
Now, how would you respond? The White House this week, Jay Carney, as I affectionately call him, White House spokesmodel Jay Carney, has said that the reason that poll numbers are so low for Obamacare, and it's overwhelming, people want this either repealed in part or in whole. The reason that that there are problems and the reason the polling is so low is because of you guys, Republicans out there talking negatively about this law. We've seen problems, employers dropping workers to below 30 hours a week. We're not making that up when we talk about it. We're not making this up whole cloth. This is really happening. How would you address the White House's charge that the reason this is so negative and having difficulty in implementation and signups and interest is because of people speaking negatively about it?
The nice way to respond to it is to say that's awfully convenient. awfully convenient that the law that he designed, that he pushed through Congress as his signature legislative achievement, is unpopular, not because it's bad, not because the American people don't like it, not because it's making healthcare costs go up and because it's unfair in the way it's being implemented, but because Republicans are criticizing it. That's a terribly convenient response. The less charitable way of describing that assertion is that that's absolutely ludicrous. That is one of the dumbest arguments I've ever heard. The White House ought to be ashamed of itself for making such an assertion.
But they are. And you found yourself as an opponent of this law and a proponent of, well, you want full repeal, I want full repeal, but at least now the tools at your disposal allow some delay in the funding mechanism. The unions have come out and sort of, well, not they don't want to repeal it. They want to, quote unquote, fix it. But the Teamsters Union in particular, James Hoffa, and the UFC, the United Food and Commercial Workers, signed a letter basically saying that this is harming workers. This is people are seeing their jobs cut, either lost or hours cut. What do you have to, they want to see it fixed. They want to fix this. They want exemptions. They want carve-outs. How would you address the way that the unions have come out against this?
Well, first of all, I say that I agree with them. I agree with them because their concerns, like mine, are founded on the fact that this law, which was passed based on the promise that it would make health care more affordable, are now discovering that this is not only a misleading description of this law that was built into its title, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, but it's also oxymoronic. It's backwards. It's the opposite of what it promised to be. It's making health care less affordable. It's making it less available. We were promised that people could keep their current health coverage if they wanted to, and we're learning that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with them. You know, we might come to a somewhat different conclusion as to what the solution is, but the immediate conclusion, which is most relevant right now, is that they're saying this law, as written, as it's being implemented, is not okay. We've got to stop it.
How far are you willing and able to go in the U.S. Senate to cut off funding? Are we talking filibuster? Are there other procedural means that you can do? What leverage can you bring to bear on the administration on this?
I'll utilize every procedural mechanism at my disposal to do it. I generally don't signal in advance what procedural maneuvers exactly I will use because it's usually not good strategy. But what I am saying is that I will not vote for a continuing resolution that contains funding for further Obamacare implementation and enforcement. And so far I've got, I don't know, 13 or 14 Senate Republicans who have joined me. I think a corresponding effort is starting to be kicked off in the House, and I expect these numbers to grow steadily as Americans realize that the president has said he's not going to implement the law as it's written. If he's not going to implement the law, we shouldn't be forced to fund it.
Amen. But sometimes, I mean, we saw this in the filibuster debate that just happened in the United States Senate, where a group went around leadership to sort of cut a deal on that. Are there members in the Republican caucus that are simply not going to go for this, that look at the big picture and say, this is bad politically rather than right, you know, principally? And that's really what your argument is. It's right principally. But are you worried about certain members in your caucus?
Oh, sure. Sure. I am. It's not lost on me that this won't necessarily be an easy or an automatic thing. But what I am saying is that when voters in all 50 states start to learn more about this effort and start to learn more about what Obamacare is and how it's being implemented by this administration, they're going to want to do anything they can to stop it, and they certainly are going to want elected officials in Washington, many of us who were elected specifically with the charge to stop Obamacare, to do everything in their power to stop it. This is our last chance. This is our last effort to stop it. This is the last opportunity we're going to have to vote, most likely, on a continuing resolution before those January 1st, 2014 starting deadlines kick in. So we have to refuse to fund it now. And the time for doing that is when the current continuing resolution expires, September 30th.